The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back to the program, and we are really looking forward to our next guest, Kansas Story Lee, the Vice Chancellor and Athletic Director at Vanderbilt. Big announcement earlier this week, and we've had a little bit of an opportunity to talk about it, but let's get deeper into the details. Candace, thank you very much, and it's great to have you back on the program.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
Well, when we visited last, you were portending that maybe things were changing in the future, and I'm going to just sit back and listen because I really think all of us would like to hear how you came to the announcement earlier this week.
Well, sure. Well, you know, it's been it's really been a very intentional process. You know, I became permanently was appointed in May, so you know, almost a year ago, and then our new chancellor Daniel Dearmeyer officially started on July 1st. And as we all know, we were knee deep in COVID, but worked really hard to focus on the urgent and what was in front of us immediately, but also plan for the future. And you know, I think we've sort of been hinting at this for a while, but we had quietly raised a good amount of money, and I think that that's certainly exciting and bodes well for the future. But the campaign that we announced on Monday is called Vandy United, and that's we're intentional with those words because we want to show that for us to take the necessary steps to reach our potential, it will take everyone. You know, it's an opportunity to engage in a different way, and just to call on people. You know, I hope it's a rallying cry. We hope it's a call to action. I think we've already seen quietly that that's been the case, but to have the opportunity to publicly talk about it and to pour into our student athletes, we're really excited for this.
I'm not good with math. $300 million sounds like a lot, although in the world of intercollegiate athletics, I'm really not certain of that. Kansas, how and in what manner will this unfold?
So, you know, $300 million is the largest investment that we've made into athletics at Vanderbilt. And so for us, that's a very big number, and it's significant in that we've already raised $100 million, and then the university is investing another $100 million. And so we have $200 million to date. Well, that number is growing by the minute because people have been very responsive even in this short time. But what we plan to do is as soon as possible, we will begin construction on we've identified four projects to date, and that would be a football operations building, a basketball operations building, a new indoor football practice facility. We do have one that we built in 2014, which we're very grateful for, but we want to have one that's a little more strategically placed to make the movement of our student athletes a little easier, moving kind of from point A to point B. And then also included in this initial list is an expansion and a renovation of the McGugin Center, which is like the home for all of our programs right now. And that piece is important to us because that will touch all of our student athletes. So we're really excited.
Candace, on the football piece of this, you know, facilities internally are very important. I mean, most of the fans get hung up on what we see on Saturday, but I would like you to describe how important those facilities are from not only an operational standpoint, but from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah, you know, the reality is that we're prioritizing the day-to-day student-athlete experience, so building up the infrastructure so that it is necessary for these young people to have what they need to compete. So, you know, the recruiting piece is important because that's how you field the team. You then need to make sure that once those student athletes get there, they have what they need to compete and win. And, you know, I think that this is, I think our approach is beneficial and creative to some degree because we think we can focus on the student athlete experience and the infrastructure while also creating a better experience for our fans. These are two areas where we needed to focus more attention. And so I know some people will talk about wanting to put money only into a new stadium. And I certainly understand that. right? So it's been a long time since we have significantly invested into our football stadium. But we're going to be strategic with how we do that. And by investing in these buildings, we'll be able to also create opportunities for our fans, which they deserve because they have hung in there with us, and this is important. But we've got to take care of the day-to-day experience. I think it would be irresponsible, quite frankly, if we skipped steps and didn't focus on what our kids need here and now.
Chatting with Kansas Story Lee, the athletic director at Vanderbilt, and I do want to ask you about that because that is what we see both when we're at a game and on television. And as you have made your way around this conference, as I know you have, you see these these magnificent edifices. I know Vanderbilt's not trying to keep up with the Joneses. I mean, this is a different approach and a different type of university, but how do you compete ultimately on that front?
Yeah, you know, I think we are proud to be in this league, and in this league, you're right, you know, there are huge stadiums, there are all kinds of ways to go about doing what we all set to do, and that's put student athletes in position to reach their potential, right? And athletics is a great way to do that. At Vanderbilt, we think we have a value proposition that that is attractive. So we're at one of the finest institutions in the world. We're in the best conference in the country. We're in what we think is the best city in the country. And we prioritize the student-athlete experience. That's not meant to talk about what other people do because I don't work anywhere else, so I can't speak to what they do. I presume that everyone in this business is just trying to take care of young people and use athletics as a way to create tradition and pageantry and opportunities to engage with the community and raise the profile of their universities. How you go about it is really dependent on the conditions of where you are. And at Vanderbilt, we think that this is the way that we can excel. We have an excellent university, and we want athletics to reflect that same excellence. And we think that this is a big step towards doing that. So I certainly understand what you're asking. And, you know, we feel like we can compete and win by doing it our way.
And I want to follow up on that, Candace. And I know you just made a coaching change. So what's happened in the past is not really germane to this conversation. But ultimately, how do you think under Clark Lee or anyone else on your campus, you can start to close the gap, especially in football, which is, basketball is a different conversation piece. Baseball, we don't need to discuss, but football in particular.
Well, you know, I think if you look at what Clark has done, so Clark is being really deliberate at building his culture and starting within his program. And so he talks a lot about the standards and the expectations that start with the young people that are on his team right now. And if they do what they're supposed to, I think people will start to see, you know, I think it's about just being intentional and progressing each day. You know, so we're working hard to create and then maintain a culture that people will gravitate towards. And we've done a lot of good things. So while I agree with you that the past is not always relevant, there are things in our past we're very proud of. You know, and then there are areas where we know we need to get better, and that's helping inform the steps that we're taking as we move forward. So, you know, it doesn't change overnight. As I think about the narrative around Vanderbilt athletics, you know, we realized we had work to do both internally. So it is not just about buildings, right? It's about personnel. It's about core values. It's about what we're doing every single day. And then if we do that with integrity and we do it with consistency, I think that people will be drawn to it. I think they will, and I think it will be evident even starting in the fall. But this is again, we are not going to skip steps. You know, we don't have that luxury, but we also don't want to because you miss things when you do that. So we just want to get better every day, and I think that will be evident to people who watch us.
Candace Story Lee, always enjoy talking to you, and thank you for making time, and we will continue this dialogue in the future. All the best.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much. All the best to you as well.
Thank you very much. A very interesting and enlightening conversation there about Vanderbilt and where they go next. We will take a short break. We'll get your reaction to that and much, much more here as we are in the middle of the week.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Okay, welcome back. We have been loaded with guests today with Coach Chizik, Coach Pittman. You just heard from Candace. And let's reopen the phone lines. We have a, believe it or not, a line or two available right now. So if you've been trying to get in for a while, I got a deal for you. 855-242-7285. Pete Thamel in the final hour. We'll get his take on the Supreme Court arguments today, as well as where the NCAA could possibly be moving past Mark Emmert. He had a really interesting article about that. Also, the tournament, which is now down to the final four in both men's and women's. So to the calls we go, and we'll talk to you in just a moment. Let's try Joe next. Joe, thanks for holding on, and good afternoon.
Paul, I'm calling about next week's next week is Masters Week.
It is.
I'm calling regarding the 1996 Masters where Greg Norman, who was six shots ahead, going into the last round, shot 78, lost, blowing up. It was the largest blown lead ever in a PGA history event. You must know a golf reporter who could investigate what I'm about to tell you.
Okay, well, before you even tell me, I covered that final round. I walked with Norman and Faldo, so I may be your man. Go ahead.
Greg told the golf shaft maker genius, who is Dr. Joe Braley, who died here a few years ago, that if he did not give him a large sum of money, greater than $500,000, that he would pull the shafts on the night prior to playing the last round. Dr. Braley said, no way, I'm not going to do that. They pulled the shafts. I don't know what shafts they put into play for Greg the last round, but Dr. Braley pulled the shafts and history was made.
Okay, Joe, hold on. Joe, let me ask you a question.
B-R-A-L-Y.
Are we talking about the shafts in the woods, the irons, or everything?
All of them.
Okay.
All of them. Dr. Braley, he was a genius. He was a veterinarian.
Okay.
Graduated from Auburn in 1960. He was an astronomical engineer. He was a pilot. He had all kind of diverse things, but he designed a device that would make the shafts fit the player. In the past, they were just stiff, you know, flexible, and he designed the shafts that worked. And you can ask all the pros back in that era.
Okay.
They knew him. He traveled with the team, with the pro tour, but Greg wanted money versus the Masters.
Well, let me just explain that round for those who don't remember. Norman had a big lead. Obviously, he had the biggest lead in history. You know, part as I remember it, and I was there watching it with my own eyes. it wasn't so much Norman's play, that the fact that Nick Faldo went out there and shot a spectacular round, and it just seemed like Norman was coming up. He was hitting all the wrong places. I remember a couple of mistakes early on. Then he on the ninth hole.
Oh, shaps.
Yeah. On the ninth hole, he went. I think he came short, up short, yeah. And then ball rolled off the green. At 12, he put it in the water. At 15.
Wrong shaft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't tell you. I don't know anything other than what I saw. I saw the pressure of the moment get to Greg Norman.
Well, when you're hitting the ball and it's not going like you expect, because you've got the wrong shafts in your club.
Well, let me ask you a question, Joe. And Greg, I've covered a lot of Greg Norman's career. Where, did he have the wrong shafts all the other times he blew majors?
I don't know. He may have. He may try to pressure them into getting money too. He liked money.
Well, he did. He liked money, but I also remember what he said after that round distinctly. I've never heard anything quite like it. Somebody asked him in the press conference, you know, how devastating was it? And he said, "Well, you know, I just lost the Masters, but I'm still worth more than $40 million."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's rich. That's great. But he's not playing in the Masters this week.
No. I agree with you, but I cannot
go into the dinners.
I cannot argue any of that point. I covered a number of choke jobs by Greg Norman at the Masters, and it was almost an every year occurrence from about 86 on, and yeah, I have no earthly idea whether what you're saying is accurate or not. You sound like you know what you're talking about, but. That sounds like a very interesting story, of which I'm sure somebody will immediately go work on. Thanks for the call, though. That was fascinating. Let's check in with Matt, who is up next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Okay, thank you.
Good. I just had a quick question. What are your thoughts on the Florida basketball program? I am a Florida Gator fan. And we are losing 5 to 7 scholarship players next year that have entered the transfer portal. It's kind of scary, and I'm kind of tired of the mediocrity of Mike White, to be honest with you. It's obviously big shoes to fill after Billy Donovan left, but at a, you know, championship program like Florida basketball, like they were, 06, 07, how hard is it for us to get a coach to get us at least a step forward in the direction where we need to go instead of mediocrity? Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Matt. In the past, I have argued back at callers like that, but anyone who watches this show knows what I would say. I'll let other people opine. The season ended badly, just like other seasons have. So if you have a thought on that, if you're a Florida fan, it's all yours. Let's check out Ben, who is in Columbia, South Carolina. Hello, Ben.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
It is going great.
So, I meant to talk about Carolina baseball instead of Carolina football, if that's okay.
Whatever.
Okay, so how do you think we're looking after just sleeping Florida and then doing well the other night against Gardner-Webb? Do you think we can make a run right now? We're projected to have a regional.
Well, I'll say this, Ben. It feels better than it has in, 4 or 5 years? So, yeah, I think so. This has been a frustrating conversation piece at a school that loves baseball and is used to winning championships and competing. But I know they got an incredible home record. I think they won almost every game but one. So I think it feels good. I want to make it clear to you. I'm a college baseball fan. I am not a college baseball expert, but we will be talking to one later in the week, and I will ask him that question. Thanks for the call. Let's check out Michael in Tennessee. I am an expert on that state. Hello, Michael.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
I am well. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to get your take on the state of Tennessee football right now. As a fellow graduate from there and a super diehard fan, it's just been a real tough last past couple of years. So I wanted to get your take on the new coaching staff and see what you thought the new year was going to bring them.
Michael, I feel pretty good about it. And I say that knowing very well what you know, what the circumstances are and what the cupboard looks like. But I don't know Josh Heupel very well, but from people who do, they say he has done an able job of putting a staff together that he's comfortable with. They feel like practices have gone pretty well so far. We had Blake Topmeyer on the other day, and he gave a very upbeat report. Now, as Coach Chizik said about an hour ago, you are going to get that in spring. I think studying the schedule, I think there's a chance for a bowl game, assuming that Tennessee does not self-impose. But I will say, all things considered, and I hate to say that because it's cliche, Josh Heupel has done a good job so far.
Well, listen, thank you so much for your time, and I'm a huge fan. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Let's hope he gets off to a good start. If there is, I know everyone has their own woes, but if there's ever a football program that needs some good news, it is the University of Tennessee. We are heading to a break. More of your calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back, and we're all glad you are with us. Just listening to Mark Emmert there. We'll talk more about Emmert in about 25 minutes with Pete Thamel. Art is up next. Art, good afternoon to you.
Thank you, Paul. And I can see you've cooled down on pronunciation and enunciation.
I literally go to sleep at night trying to I say the word Emmert over and over again.
Yeah. I noticed that. I mean, that's just not one of the issues you have. But good work, good work. Second is the players benefit, right, from being paid in college, right? I mean, who else benefits? I don't really – I'm just getting – that call was really frustrating yesterday evening. And I just want your opinion on who – really, is it just simply for the players' benefit to be paid, obviously?
Well, Art, there's a lot more to this. I mean, this trickles into politics. I think the media plays a big role. And I dare say, because I've sat around tables before when the NIL issue mm-hmm. has come up, and almost everyone sitting there feels the same way. And why is that? Because usually on television or in circumstances like this, I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about when you have athletes on or analysts, they're former players, and they all feel the same way. They believe athletes should be paid. You have to go farther back into time to find those who are opposed to it, or coaches who understand the difficulties of dealing with it.
Right. The coaches' difficulty in dealing with it, along with the number of appearances they have to make, like he was saying, Chizik was saying, they have so much else to do. I just think that's just – well, the Sanford coach came on, a football coach, and said he loved playing in the spring. And I thought, how interesting. And then he said, well, look, we have to compete on Saturdays anyway, so who cares about baseball and basketball? I mean – one last thing. Did you hear the comment from the gentleman? I know you know the Cards real well, St. Louis Cardinals.
Sure.
Could you give me a little heads up on, were you able to see Stan Musial?
I think I saw Stan once. Stan, like I knew him. I believe my dad took me to his restaurant. And we saw him there, but that's the only he owned a restaurant, a famous restaurant in St. Louis, but that's the only time I've ever seen him other than on television.
Right. That's really awesome, Paul. Thank you very, very much. Keep it up, buddy.
Thank you, Art. Great to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Alan is up next. Hello, Alan. Good afternoon to you.
Paul, how you doing?
Alan, we are doing well. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm a big fan. Paul, I wanted to ask you about the news coming out about Tiger Woods' car crash that the detectives are not releasing the cause due to privacy concerns. I'd like to get your opinion. What do you think?
Well, I think it raises some pretty interesting questions. Another thing about this is, you know, we've heard virtually nothing about Tiger since he got out of the hospital. And
except he made it home, and that's about it.
Yeah, and by the way, I understand, HIPAA, I understand patient rights, but we are talking about one of the two or three most famous athletes in the entire world. We're not talking about the two of us. So I think there's
a lot. Paul, the article states also that blood samples, a search warrant was not issued for blood samples.
No.
Now, if you and I had been in an accident, I'm not familiar with law enforcement protocol, but isn't it pretty common for blood samples to be taken in
yes.
those situations?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Alan, I don't think, I know I'm going against the grain here because everyone wants to praise Tiger, and that's fine. I'm a fan just like you are, but I am highly suspicious of what we're hearing today.
Right. Those were my thoughts, too. And, you hate to say it, but, preferential treatment for professional athletes at times. And it just, like you said, it's very interesting and,
yeah, and I think it will be even more interesting if anyone goes deeper into this because, I'll be careful what I say here. I doubt you'll hear much next week.
Right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's a good question, though, and I wondered about that. And I come from the suspicious wing of journalism. When it comes out that they're not releasing something, that tells you there's a reason they're not releasing. It's self-evident. They're trying to keep something from the public's eyes, and it's usually not very good. I know that sounds like Ned the Reader in the first grade, but that's pretty easy to understand. Let's check out Josh, who is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Josh.
Hey, what's up?
We are well.
Yeah, me too. I just want to ask you, how do you think Shane's going to do for the Gamecocks this year? You think he might, put our team straight towards, the right area? Or, I don't know.
Well, I will say this to you, Josh. We interviewed Coach yesterday, and I always come away just fired up and enthusiastic after hearing him. He's a mm-hmm. great personality. Do I think they're going to have a good season next year? No, I don't. I don't know how they're going to have a good season based on what Will Muschamp left behind.
Yeah. So what do you think about the running back? I forgot his name.
Yeah, and let me explain for those watching right now. The schedule is a little interesting. Eastern Illinois at East Carolina, at Georgia, Kentucky, Troy, at Tennessee. The East Carolina game is a little bit difficult. Clemson at the end. So, I'm trying to look at what I see as sure losses. I'm going to count them to myself. I see a lot. By the way, it's hard when you're in front of a microphone to count silently. It's called a silent count for those who understand sports. Let's check out Andy in Illinois. Andy, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. I'm a long-time listener. I'm a big fan. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to test your memory on something.
Okay.
I've been a lifelong Illinois sports fan, so I'm definitely glutton for punishment. But and we're still trying to recover from the Lovey Smith dumpster fire up here. But going back to about 40 years ago, did you cover the 1982 Liberty Bowl?
I most certainly did.
My father and I were fortunate enough to get tickets for that game. Of course, Illinois hadn't been in the bowl game since the 60s, and so tickets were hard to come by. And I believe, memory serves, Alabama even turned in some of their tickets because it was a disgrace for them to go to a lower bowl like that. But it was just a big thrill for me to be able to see Bear Bryant, and not only see Bear Bryant, but see Bear Bryant in his last game, even though Illinois took the loss that night. It was a enjoyable experience.
Illinois was in that game. They nearly pulled it out. I will say, and I've covered some pretty fantastic games in my life, as you can imagine, being blessed to have a position like this. But I will never forget that game if I live another 50 years or if I keel over before the next commercial break. I'm assuming you're from Illinois. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I live in Champaign. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, I'm a Southern boy. I grew up in Memphis. I lived I've never lived above the Mason-Dixon line. So, I didn't really think it was a big deal that December 29th or whatever it was. And I went to that game. I only had a sport coat. I did not have a heavy coat. The weather looked pretty nice. And I don't know if I've ever been so cold in my life because I was on the sideline and the last quarter seemingly lasted an hour. And I've told this story before, but after Coach Bryant's press conference, I went up to the press box to write what I thought was the biggest story of my life covering his final game. And my hands were frozen. I could not move them for about 20 minutes. So I remember more about the weather than I almost do the game. But I remember thinking as Alabama was trying to hold off Illinois at the end, was it Tony Eason, the quarterback?
Yeah, I believe Eason got injured in the fourth quarter. That's kind of
okay. I remember Illinois had a really nice coach. I think his name was Mike White. Just a pleasant guy. I got to talk to him. But I was thinking, this can't be happening. Illinois is not going to beat Coach Bryant in his final game. You have memories like that. It was a very special night, and I'm glad you were able to get there.
What is your feeling on the Brett Bielema hire?
I like it. I've always felt he was a good coach that just for whatever reason, and I never understood why the end went the way it did, but personal guy, got to know him very well. We did a 5-hour show once at the national championship game doing one of these film rooms. I've been with him in social settings, he and his wife, and I think he's in the right place. I think this is a much better choice than what you had.
Yeah, I just, from a personality standpoint, I mean, Lovey just appeared to never wanted to be here.
I think you're right.
And he treated this job as a retirement plan.
A lot of people do that, and that's why I don't know if you heard Mack Brown the other night. He gave the one of the most brilliant theses on acting like you want to be there, whether you really want to or not. And when you don't, you do not endear yourself to the fans, and that's they pay your salary ultimately.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you. You will like Brett. He is just I really enjoyed him because he was fun. I think he was a good coach too. Really had a couple of razor thin calls. Significantly better coach than what followed him. I think I did mention Chad Morris today got a head coaching position at Allen High School in Texas. I know it has a good reputation, but still. We will take a break. More to come. Final hour and 15 minutes right ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. Pete Thamel coming up here in just a moment. And let's check out Bart, who is in Missouri. Hello, Bart.
Hey, Paul. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
I know you're on a football run, but to wrap up the basketball season in SEC Northwest up here, we're not getting a whole lot of information on what's going on with Missouri's announced its fourth player entering the portal, and it seems like Quanzo Martin you know, he's been here for, what, 5 or 6 years now, and we've had a few debacle seasons that were supposed to have promise and have, you know, failed to yield anything. I didn't know if you had any insight on why these players are leaving and they're giving up on the system. And, you know, they started out great, had some great wins against some good teams, but just faltered at the end. And once again, we're stuck here wondering what's going wrong. Didn't know if you had any...
Bart, that's interesting. I must admit, I had not heard that. That is troublesome because I really had felt this year could have been the jumping off point for Konzo to really take this program to the next level. I'm sure everyone else did too.
Yes, exactly. Michael Porter Jr., you know, with that, you know, injury situation, we really thought we were on the rise. It took him a couple of years now, but now Pinson, you know, obviously a star player for us has left, and some very solid bench guys have left. And it just seems that, I don't know, it smells of something more deep, but no local you know, sports people are talking about it. So just
well, I tell you what, Bart, I will look into it. Not that I'm any different than anybody else, but I'll see if we can find somebody that knows more than I do, which is very little right now. So check back, and we will try to get you a better answer.
I sure appreciate it. Thanks,
thank you,
Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that is a troublesome story. Cat Daddy, can I assign you that story and you go come back with some information?
I ain't got no reason to go up north. I don't like up north. Too cold up there. Mr. Feinbaum?
Hey, Missouri is not exactly Montana. Come on.
Missouri, that's still too far from me. I like it right here in Cass, South Carolina. The only state I know where you got to use your air conditioner in the afternoon and turn on the heat when you go to work in the morning. But I got some good news, Mr. Feinbaum.
Let's hear it.
I got sunshine on a cloudy day. And when it's cold outside, Cat Daddy's got the month of May. You might say what makes me feel this way. Join in with him, Mr. Feinbaum. My Lady Gamecocks. Lady Gamecocks. How about them Gamecocks?
Man, you've been looking for a horse to ride, and you finally found one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so proud of them girls, though. They're doing a good job. And I'll tell you, you just have no points in the fourth quarter. I ain't never heard of that in my life.
No, I mean, I've seen the Gamecocks not scoring football in the fourth quarter, but I've never heard of it in basketball.
You trying to beat me. Right, Bob, you crazy. You know that?
I have heard that before, yes.
Well, where's he at? When's Danny Sheridan going to be coming back on the show?
Danny Sheridan?
Yes, sir.
I don't know, but you obviously like Danny.
Oh, yeah. I got fascinated with him. I took his service there for a while.
Well,
and my bookie told me the best bet in any sport today was the Lady Gamecocks in basketball.
How did you do when you subscribed to Sheridan's service?
Oh, I'd say about 60-40.
Hey, do you realize winning 60% of bets is better than the average?
Yes, sir.
I think what's it?
Spend all that money. Hey, I don't wish my wife good. She was happy last night watching the ball game, but she got to go in and have surgery tomorrow, and I want to wish her well and hope everybody pray for her.
We will, Cat Daddy. We're all thinking of her, and let us know how she's doing. We're up against a break. We still have an hour to go, and we hope you will give us a ring at 855-242-7285. We've already had Sam Pittman, the Arkansas coach, Gene Chizik, the athletic director at Vanderbilt, Pete Thamel right around the corner.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.